Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, because there is so much deception. In this series that we've been doing, and you might ask, well, why do you always have series? Well, in order to get the full story, it takes more than just a little half-hour program. So each one is built upon the other. And in the last one, we saw how Satan comes along and inspires a benefit to give you something other than what God has said or commanded. Now, in this segment, we're going to cover how you can discern the truth and the error in religion, because that is the key. Because true Christianity is available and still in the world today. And as a matter of fact, if you have a Bible, and by the way, if you don't have the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order, a faithful version with commentary, you need it. You can go right online to the original Bible Restored, and you can order it right there. Now, how can you look at the whole spectrum of all of these churches that say they are Christian and find out if they have any teachings of Satan the devil? Because in this segment, we're going to see how Satan, just like everything else, has wormed his way in and has corrupted those churches that say they are Christian. Now, let's see right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, even in his ministry, was facing the same problem. Today, we have radio, we have television, we have the internet, we have the printing press, we have the Bible, we have many versions of the Bible, and that's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order, because there are men through Satan's inspiration have tried to change the Word of God to make it so it's not true, so that he can bring in his own doctrine. Now, we'll cover these deceptions of Satan because it gets to the heart and core of who and what do you worship. Now, the Apostle Paul writes this. Here's one way. Not only what they preach, but the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits. And their fruits are their actions and their words. So let's read it. Therefore, having this ministry according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, and much of what you see in the televangelist and many of the churches are only a cover to make money.
Look at Robert Tilton. If you ever send him a donation, you cannot imagine what happens. And luckily, you don't have to imagine because, and we should probably come clean here, we have been involved in a correspondence with Robert Tilton's church for the last 7 months to try and find out what he tells people. So settle in because this gets incredible. Back in January, I sent him $20 and a letter asking to be added to his mailing list. Within 2 weeks, he sent me a letter back thanking me for my donation and claiming, I believe that God has supernaturally brought us together. Soon afterwards, he sent me a second letter, and inside there was a $1 bill, which was exciting, until I saw the inscription instructing me to send it back to him with your best prove God tithes or offering. That's right, I had to send the $1 back with an additional recommended offering of $37, which I did. So at this point, we're just two letters in, and already it's like having a pen pal who's in deep with some loan sharks. This correspondence continued back and forth like this until March, when he sent me three small packets of coloured oil that I was instructed to pour on letters and send back to him by specific dates, along with more money. So I did that. And in April, I got a letter in a manila envelope with the message, check enclosed. And I thought, fantastic, I've seeded and I've seeded and I've seeded. Here comes my harvest. Then I open it, and this is true, it was a check for $5 from me made out to Pastor Tilton's church. This went on for seven more letters. And then he sent me a piece of fabric in the shape of some mountains. I assumed at this point I'd somehow reached the mountain level. And surprise, surprise, he asked me to send those mountains back to him with some more money again. So I did. And then he sent me another letter with another single dollar bill inside. He told me to put that dollar bill in my Bible for one night and then send it back the next day with 49 more dollars so that he can have it blessed with oil and send me a $1 bill back that has been blessed, adding, I must warn you not to rob God with your tithes and offerings. And then for emphasis, I can't urge you enough, do not let this $1 bill stay in your house. And you know what? I kept that $1 bill. That one I kept. But that did not stop him. The letters kept on coming. I received another oil packet, more prayer cloths, and even, and this is true, an outline of his foot, which I was asked to trace my foot on and mail back to him with more money. So, as of tonight, I have sent him $319 and received 26 letters. That's almost one a week. And again, this is all hilarious until you imagine these letters being sent to someone who cannot afford what he's asking for.
Dishonest gain. All tithes and offerings are to be used to preach the gospel and feed the flock and serve the brethren of God. Not to build empires, not to aggrandize the self or the sycophants that work for you. Now, if you haven't heard this sermon, you go online to cbcg.org and download the sermon, Invisible Idol, Visible Man. That will be an astounding, eye-opening sermon for you concerning what happens when men, which is a process of Satan the devil, put themselves up in place of God. And then the people are brainwashed into serving the man and worshiping the man rather than God, which is a tactic of Satan the devil, and he wants to get that tactic into every single Christian ministry. And he has succeeded magnificently. So, Paul gives us the power behind that. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, mark this very carefully. The word of God is truth. But it must be rightfully and truthfully divided and put together. Otherwise, the satanic thoughts of putting in your own ideas as a minister creep in, and you deceitfully use the word of God, which is truth, and make it become a lie. Now you think about that, because as we're going through this, I want you to examine if you go to a church or if you follow a ministry, what do they do? What do they say? How do they conduct their lives? And it is the word of God. Because remember, as we covered in the last segment, Jesus said, man shall live by every word of God. Now you think on that. But by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Now notice who are perishing. That means that they do not have the Holy Spirit of God. They are not preaching the truth of God. They are not preaching that which leads to salvation. and eternal life. They are preaching that which leads to death, are perishing. Now mark this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this age or world, remember what we read in segment one? Satan the devil is actively deceiving the whole world. And that is in government, that is in finance, that is in education, and that is in religion. And he's got the chokehold on all of it. If you don't believe it, witness all of the universities in America today and around the world. Now that's why there are parents who are very wise and students who are very wise to have school at home called homeschooling. And that fits right in with what we have with church at home, because people can't go to churches and learn the truth anymore. It's so infiltrated by Satan the devil, and if they are being taught the doctrines of Satan the devil, though they profess Jesus, who are they really worshiping? Satan, the devil. Oh, but my church would never do that. Really? Well, let's put it to the test. So Satan is the god of this age, and whom the god of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Now, to believe, there are two ways. One, someone asks you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe there is a God? Oh, yes, I believe. That is a profession. That is not really a belief. Number two, if you believe God and believe what he says, you will obey him and worship him. And that is the God of the Bible, the whole Bible put together. Otherwise, you have various degrees of blindness. Would you conclude that any Christian church which says that same-sex marriage is of God, that they are indeed blinded? Or even to have one of their bishops marry a man and say they represent God. That's why you need to know the Word of God and understand what it says and be able to judge them by their fruits, not just the sweet words that they say. Why do these degrees of deception come along? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. That is the standard to measure it by. And I can tell you very plainly, we take these words very seriously, because we know, and I know personally from having to leave churches that became infiltrated and taken down by those who did not believe and were blinded by Satan the devil, that anyone who is a minister of God who preaches from the Bible had better live it himself. Just exactly as God has said. And every minister is to teach. Jesus got Peter on this when he asked him 3 times, do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep, shepherd my lambs, feed my sheep. And that is to feed the people and the brethren the word of God, to preach the truth of God. Now here's the reason. Because it is God who commanded the light of the gospel, to shine out of darkness, that's the darkness of this world, who shined into the hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, and that's another way of saying, why were you born? Why do you exist? And we've got a book coming on that, which is going to be absolutely marvelous. From a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? Now, we'll have that available here really soon, so you can write for it. Come over here to chapter 11. Now, you see, very few people really have a sense of that Satan was always active trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And that, we will see, started early on. But let's look at what had already developed by the time Paul wrote this in 54 AD to the church at Corinth. They were allowing false apostles and ministers to come into their congregation and teach them. And there were plenty of them. Little sidebar here. Were there a lot of men who heard Jesus preach when he was teaching in his 3.5-year ministry in the area of Galilee and Judea? Yes. But they didn't become disciples of Christ. Now, there were two categories. Number one, there were those who were for Jesus and even cast demons out in his name. And number two, there were those who were against Jesus, preaching another Jesus and bringing in the doctrines of Satan the devil. Now, let's focus in on that here in 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. I would that you would bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me, for I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, now Satan the devil has many means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, challenging what you believe. Now, let me bring out one of the early things that they were doing, even beginning in Paul's day, Sunday keeping. Now, why? Because those that were called into the church of God through Paul's ministry had come from paganism, and they were sun worshipers, and they were worshiping on Sunday. And very few people would leave those religions to become Christians. So they were already trying to deceive on how we can justify that we can keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath so that more people will come. You didn't know that, did you? But it took 300 years for it to become absolute law within the Roman Empire, declared by Constantine, the first pope of the Catholic Church. Think about all the excuses of Sunday keeping that you have heard, and all the denunciations of the Sabbath that you have heard. Now, we've got two booklets you need. Which day is the true Lord's day? And Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. That's his day. And a Sabbath Sunday controversy you have never read. So Satan has constructed this great counterfeit religion, the Orthodox Christianity of this world, and Sunday worship. Now then, since Sunday, God never changed from Sabbath to Sunday. I defy you. You look in the scriptures and find where God said, you've heard it said in the past, this would have to come right from the words of Jesus Christ. You have heard it said in ancient time, you shall remember the Sabbath to keep it, but I tell you, I'm changing it to the first day of the week. I defy you to find that lie in the New Testament. Oh, but there are a lot of good people keeping Sunday. Yes, they enjoy the benefits of Satan. Don't you understand? Whom and what do you worship? Now notice he gives a warning here. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, and a Sunday Jesus is another Jesus. That's like having two people with the same names. Bob and Bob, or Robert and Robert. Jesus and Jesus. One is true, one is false. Jesus never came to abolish the law. Jesus never came to change the law of God. Jesus never established Sunday. Now, in the light of that, who do you worship? God? And keep his commandments? Or the religion of men who steal from God? And do you think that that is going to give you eternal life? Another Jesus whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. They were letting these false ministers come in and preach and teach their ideas about their version of Christianity and how they should worship God. Rather than, as the Apostle Paul said, through the Word of God, through the truth of God, not through cunning craftiness or lying things or proclaiming benefits from Satan the devil as if they're blessings from God. What will you do? How is your life going to be? Now, come here to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They have to make it appear that they are apostles or ministers or teachers of Jesus Christ, but they are not. Now, how can you tell? You can't tell by looking at them. Some of them are very nice people, nice men, nice women. Oh, they're smiling and preaching great, wonderful things of humanism. Oh, yes. Big churches. Lots of money. Important in the world. How do you know who is a minister of God or not? How do you know who the real Jesus is? Because the one you see on the cross, which is an idol, by the way, and we'll talk a little bit about that, because if you have idols, you're worshiping another god. Well, I do it just for remembrance. God didn't say you can do it just for remembrance. He wants you to worship him. Let's pick it up here. In John chapter 3, verse 34, for whom God has sent. Now, did Jesus send the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes. Same way today, it comes right down to this day, whom God has sent. Notice, speaks the words of God. And what did Jesus tell in the temptation to Satan the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live, right? So anyone who's a true minister of God will preach the words of God and not himself and not his greatness, but the greatness of God, the greatness of Jesus Christ, the greatness of the plan of God, and why we are here, and what God is going to do, and how he works in our lives. This is what they will teach. Okay? now speaks the words of God, and God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. Then he talks about the Son. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And it's also this, that whom God has sent, he has the seal of God. All right, now, back here to 2 Corinthians 11. Notice, false apostles, deceitful workers are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Never were apostles or ministers or teachers of Christ. We'll get into some other things on this, but this becomes very important because this is right at the foundation of who do you worship and what do you worship and what is your relationship with God. The truth of God becomes the most important thing, the Word of God, and your relationship with Him. And that's why we have church at home. You can serve and worship God at home, away from all of the distraction of the rattle and the clatter and the lies and the music and the stupidity of the Christianity of this world. Now, there may be some ministers out there trying to do some good, but some good is not preaching the whole gospel. So ask yourself the question, who and what do I worship? And you can find the answer, the true answer of what you should do in the Word of God. So once again, be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, where we have many, many sermons covering many, many subjects. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.